While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God is not content to wait until men come home. He goes out to search for them, no matter what it costs.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
In these difficult times, it is a good and a blessed thing to be able to call God our Father and Jesus Christ our Shepherd. What a blessing that is. The uncertainties of national and international economies and politics need not shatter the people of God. We have roots in eternity, far above the time, space, matter continuum by which we are bound. With David, we can say, the Lord is my shepherd. And that has a significant way of transforming our whole view of life. Jesus Christ is our shepherd. He meets every one of our needs. Now let's look at this Psalm 23 and verse 1, where David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now what do you see as you look at that verse? There are three things that stand out to me. I see three things in verse 1. The first thing I see is a personality, the Lord. The personality, the Lord. The second thing is the performance. The Lord is my shepherd. The personality, the Lord. The performance is my shepherd. The product, I shall not want. He meets my deepest needs. He satisfies all of my cravings and my appetites. So David begins and he says in terms of the personality, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I would say again, suggest again, that that's the place all of us must begin with our lives. And then secondly, I want you to see the performance. The Lord is my shepherd. Now let me suggest to you, I wonder if I can shift gears for a moment and go to the New Testament, but carry on this theme of the Lord being my shepherd. There are in the New Testament three portraits that will help us to understand how we may personally become the sheep of his fold. May I share them with you? If you have your Bibles, you might turn to the first one. It's in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. And it gives to us the first New Testament portrait that helps us to understand this concept of becoming sheep of his fold. What I find in Matthew the 9th chapter and verse 36 is the condition of lost sheep. The Bible says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. The first portrait that's essential in understanding how we become sheep of Jehovah's fold is to understand the condition of lost sheep. That's the condition of every one of us until we became the children of God. Matthew 9 in verse 36. We were harassed, we were helpless, and we were headless, having no shepherd. And then I want you to see, secondly, the second picture in the New Testament, which helps us to understand how we become the sheep of his fold. The second picture I want you to see is in Matthew, and it's in the 18th chapter, and it's verses 11 to 13. The Bible says in Matthew 18 and verse 11, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. And then he tells us the procedure by which he goes about this. How think ye if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray? Doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Now there you have the portrait of the coming of a loving shepherd. What do you see in that passage? I see the shepherd's love. And there are five facets of that love. Let me give them to you very quickly. Number one, it is an individual love. The 99 were not enough. One sheep was out on the hillside, away from the safety of the fold, and the shepherd could not rest until he had brought him home. And that's the way God is. God is like that. God loves every one of us as if there were only one of us to love. God's love is an individual love. The second thing about the shepherd's love is that it's a patient love. You know, sheep are proverbially foolish creatures. And generally, a sheep has no one to blame but itself for the danger it has got itself into. He's out looking for one lost sheep who's in a perilous circumstance, and he is essentially responsible for that peril himself. He got himself into the mess himself. It was on his own initiative. Now, men are so apt to have very little patience with the foolish ones. Have you ever felt like that? Men are so apt to have very little patience with the foolish ones. It's their own fault. They brought it on themselves. Don't waste any sympathy on fools. Have you ever said anything like that? Have you ever thought it? I want to tell you, when you convert those statements into a relationship between yourself and God, I'm glad that God didn't say that about you and about me. God is never like that. The sheep may be foolish. Indeed, they are. We are. The sheep may be foolish, but the shepherd would still risk his very life to save that sheep. In fact, Jesus Christ gave up his life to save the sheep. We may have been foolish, but God still loves us, and he will deliver us if we'll trust him. You may have been foolish to this point in your life. You may have done those things which have devastated your personal life, maybe your marriage, your family, your potential for the future, but we want you to know, no matter how foolish you've been, God loves you. God is patient with you. There's an infinite patience in the nature of God. And if you'll come to him and trust him, if you'll receive the rich offer that he extends to you, he will change you. He'll become your shepherd. And then thirdly, it's not only an individual love and a patient love, but it's a seeking love. Do you notice the scripture says there that he goeth into the mountains and he seeketh that which is gone astray? Verse 12. It's a seeking love. The shepherd was not content to wait for the sheep to come back. He went out to search for it. You know, that is what the Pharisees in Jesus' day, that is what the Pharisees could not understand about the Christian concept of God. The Pharisees, those self-righteous Pharisees, would gladly agree that if the sinner came crawling wretchedly home, God might forgive him. But if he didn't, that was all well and good. They were good fuel for the fires of hell, those sinners. That was always the spirit of the Pharisees, but never the spirit of the God of the Christians. Our God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, came seeking us when we were still far from home, when we were rebellious and recalcitrant, when we were insensitive to what he said. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God is not content to wait until men come home. He goes out to search for them, no matter what it costs. It might be that there are one or two that God is seeking for. God is pursuing you. There's a sense in which he's hounding you because he loves you. He wants to change you. He wants to become your shepherd. And then it was fourthly a rejoicing love. The Bible says that when he finds him, he comes rejoicing. Verse 13. It was a rejoicing. When the sheep is found, there's nothing but joy. There's joy in heaven. There's joy in the heart of that sheep that was lost and is now found. We can imagine the shout for joy when the shepherd returns, striding along the pathway with a weary wanderer, that lost sheep, slung across his shoulder, safe at last. There is no contempt in the heart of the shepherd for the sheep's blunders, only a spirit of rejoicing that he has been found. It is human, and we need to rise above this level on occasion, becoming new creatures in Christ. It is human never to forget a man's past and always to remember his sins against him. But God puts our sins behind his back. He delivers us from them so far as the east is from the west. And when we return to God, it's all joy. There is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents, Luke 15 in verse 10. What a blessed day it is when a man becomes a member of Jehovah's fold through faith in the Son of God. And then finally, it's a protecting love. The love of God is the love which seeks and it saves. Verse 11, the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. It is a protecting love. It preserves a man for the service of God and his fellow men. It is a love which makes the wanderer wise so he doesn't get lost again. It makes the weak strong. It makes the sinner pure. It makes the captive of sin the free man of holiness. It makes the vanquished by temptation the conqueror of temptation. God's love so changes a man that he is no longer a wandering sheep. He is a redeemed saint of God. It's a very precious portrait. Matthew 18, verses 11 to 13. You have in Matthew 9, 36, the condition of lost sheep. You have in Matthew 18 the coming of a loving Savior. In one other passage, John 10, verse 9, if you look with me there as we close out our ideas, in John 10, verse 9, you have the conversion of lost sheep. The Bible says, and these are the words of the Lord Jesus, I am the door, John 10, verse 9. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. What do you see in John 10 and verse 9? That whole precious passage there in the 10th chapter of John carries on this theme initiated by David in Psalm 23 and verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. In verse 9, there's a very powerful insight in this connection. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. I see three things in that verse in outline form. I see three things there relating to the conversion of lost sheep. One, I see an exclusive claim. I myself am, literally. Ego eimi. I myself am. I am, literally. I myself am the door. By me. By no one else. By me. An exclusive claim. You know what? On the Judean hillsides, there were special sheepfolds when they would stay out overnight on the hillsides rather than coming back into the communities. There were special sheepfolds which were nothing other than open spaces enclosed by a wall. And in each of them, there was an opening by which the sheep would come in and go out, but there was no door on these sheepfolds in the Judean hillside. At night, there was an opening and no door. At night, the shepherd would lay himself down across this opening to the fold so that no sheep could go in or out except over his body. So that in the most literal sense, the shepherd was the door. Now, that's exactly what Jesus has in mind. That is what Jesus means. Jesus says, I am the door. If you wish to gain access to this fold, if you want a personal union with God, if you want meaning in your life and forgiveness and an eternal destiny, if you want purpose like you never had it before, I am the door. That is an exclusive claim. Jesus opens the way to God. He is the door, not a door, one among many. He is the door through whom alone entrance to God becomes possible for all of us. Any man who wants a vital union with God, any man who wants his sins forgiven, any man who wants to be cleansed, who wants power to live in the way that he ought to live, any man who wants all of those things must come to Christ. I am the door. Now, there's an exclusive claim here. But beyond that, there's an efficient cause. The Bible says, I am the door. These are the words of Jesus. By me, if any man enter in, that's the efficient cause, an effective or efficient cause. By me, if any man enter in. In other words, becoming a Christian involves an act of the will. There's something for me to do. There is something for me to do. God has made a rich offer, but every offer demands a response. I will be your shepherd. I will meet your needs. I will forgive your sins. I make you a rich offer, but you must respond. If any man enter in, you see it all through the Gospel of John. In John's Gospel, we're taught we must receive Christ, John 1:12. We must drink of Christ, John 4:14. We must eat of Christ, John 6:51. We must come to Christ, John 6, verse 37. And we must enter into Christ, John 10, in verse 9. And all of those figures demand the activity of the will. We must, by faith, claim our own personal share of all that Jesus Christ died to give us when he suffered on the cross. There's something for us to do. There needs to be that time in your life, as there was in mine and everyone here who's come to know Christ, and everybody in the New Testament era when they came to know Christ. There needs to be that time for every one of us when, by faith, we claim our own personal share. God makes the offer. He demands a response. You must enter in. It's an act of the will.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.